Today we're going to read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. I'm reading from the NIV Bible version, Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Lord, I pray as I open my mouth to explain your word to our people, to your people this morning, that your Holy Spirit may touch me first. And touch your people and bring us all to a place of surrender and obedience to you. We have no other God. You are our God because you have chosen us in Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you have mercy on us and touch us. We are ready to receive your word of life, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. When God in the word, in the Bible, have something deep to tell us, he uses metaphors, images, daily lives realities that God takes and then puts spiritual meaning into them. Metaphors, we call them. Did you notice that in the text we read today, there are two powerful metaphors that Jesus is using, images. He's calling us, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt and light. And then allow me to ask three questions to the text and try to answer them. One, why is Jesus using these two metaphors to describe us Christians? Second, what is threatening our saltiness? What is trying to derail us as salt of the world? And then finally, why do we have to shine? And I notice your church has a very nice clock there, 10:05. And at 10:30 we have to be out of here. Okay, fine, we'll try to do it. Why is Jesus describing us as salt and light of the world? Now you know that, you know, even at the time of Jesus, until today, salt, the number one use of it is used as seasoning. We cook with it, you know. Yesterday I was doing some barbecue out there, and my wife said, don't put too much salt on mine. I said, fine, but on my own, I will just dump it, you know. Salt is for seasoning so that it can give taste to the food you are cooking. Good, we know that. But during the time of Jesus, salt was also used as medicine. If you have a cut, you use salt to clean it, to kill all the germs in it. Salt was used for wounded people, to heal wounded people. And then the third use is salt was used at the time of Jesus for preservation of food. You know, here we have refrigerators and freezers, you know. I grew up in a place in Congo where our parents didn't have no refrigerator, nothing. If we have fish, we want to keep it for many days. We have to salt it a lot and put it out to dry. So remember three things. Salt was used as food for, you know, seasoning to give taste. Salt was used to bring, to heal those who were wounded. And salt was used to preserve what could rot, what could go wrong. Why is Jesus calling us salt? Because see, at the time of Jesus, life was tasteless for the Jewish people.
Daily life was bad, was terrible. One, the Jewish laws were so heavy, burdensome, that people were spiritually stuck. But then the political situation was so bad because Rome was running everything. Excuse me. Many times I laugh when I see Americans complaining about government. You have never lived under dictatorship. I did. And I watch, I say, guys, you have it too good. When you are run by a dictator, one person, he tells you what to eat, how to wear your clothes, where you can go, everything since you are born. Everyone gets back home at 6, period. You are at 6:10, you are in jail. You go to jail. It's like that. So when I hear people screaming and dancing, I say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Life at the time of Jesus was bad because Rome was literally destroying them daily. Jesus says, you have to be salt to give taste to your daily reality when everything is tasteless. What? But then see, the problem is that the people was not only going through this tasteless life, but they were wounded. I mean, when somebody else is running your country, killing your people, how much hatred shouldn't you have? People during the time of Jesus, they were emotionally traumatized. Jesus says, you are salt. Go bring healing to your people. Wow. And then he says, you are salt. The society is going to collapse, but you keep it together. Wow. And then he adds, you are light to give direction, to give people can see where they are going. Again, I grew up in a place without no electricity. So at 6 o'clock, it's pitch dark. That's how I grew up. You could see that little flicker of a candle far away. You see it because that's the only light. Jesus is telling you are that light in a world that is so dark that people can't know where they are going. Wow. Did you notice something in the text? In verse 13? Jesus is talking in present. You are, not you will be, not you might become. No, it's just an affirmation. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. You know, as a pastor, if you look at Matthew 5, Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of his ministry. Those who were following him did not actually know too much about him or his teachings. I would tell Jesus, this is a little too soon. Let them follow you for 3 years. Then they will get all the catechism right. They are just at the beginning. You just give them such a big responsibility, a huge identity. You are the salt of your country. You are the light of America. Wow. Because Jesus is God. He bestows on you a new identity. The moment you decide to follow him, you become his. And then he gives you a gift. You are salt and you are light of America. Wow. Jesus says, I will not ask for angels to come and bring healing to America. You are there. I will not ask for God to send more angels to bring taste to this country. You are there. You are my follower. You belong to me. I set you as salt and light of this nation. And then you say, but Jesus, I don't find saltiness in me. He says, no, you don't get it. The moment you believe in me, I put the Holy Spirit in you. And Galatians chapter 5, you look at verse 19 and 20, you go there, you will see the work, what are the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, and all those things. Do you know that you have them in you? I think the problem you have is not that you are not spiritual enough. No, you don't know how spiritual you are, how holy you are, because God has planted in you all the fruit of the Spirit. They are there in your life. Because you believed him. Did you notice in verse 1? Now when he noticed that the people, the crowd were coming to him, Jesus went up, sat down and started teaching. The people followed him. You are right here on Sunday. What are you doing in church? Because you are a follower of Christ. That's why you are here. That's why you are salt. Listen to me. You will not become salt. You are. Listen to me. You will not become light. You are. It is not based on performance. It is based on faith, because you decided to follow him. I am the salt of America. I am the light of America. I'm not making this up. Jesus says so. Did you notice he didn't ask permission to tell them who they are? He just bestowed on them this new identity. I noticed Christians are so weak because they don't know who they are. They don't know what their identity is. Did you notice Genesis 3? What did the devil tell Adam and Eve? You are not all right. Become like God, then you will be all right. He hit on their identity. Make them doubt who they really are. Did you notice what the devil did to Jesus in the desert before he started his ministry? If you are the Son of God, which means you are not. The devil always goes against your Christian identity to make you doubt what God has done in your life. You are not sitting here randomly because your dad brought you here. No, because you have heard him. He called you by name. You belong to him. You are the salt of this country. America has a future. Don't listen to the people tell you that this country is destroyed. No. As long as you stand right there, this country has a future, because you are salt and you are light. Now, because Christians, I noticed, when God tells them something good about themselves, they don't want to take it. It's too good. So please, I make you, you know, when I became an American citizen a couple of years ago, I had to lift my right hand and say, I pledge allegiance, all this thing, you know. I even forget the formula, but anyway. So I had to do this to understand the solemnity of becoming an American citizen. So now let me ask you, lift your right arm like this, hand like this, and say, I am the salt of America. Let's say that. I am the salt of America. And then lift your right hand and say, I am the light of America. Say that. I am the light of America. See? You are. This country has a future. As long as you stand there and follow Jesus Christ. I didn't say you will become. You are. Go home there. Tell your wife, if she didn't come here because she's mad at you, tell him, Pastor Paul said, I am the salt of America. I am the light of this country. But then Jesus' second point, he says, but, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salted again? I was wondering, well, Jesus, how in the world can salt lose its saltiness? Well, you know, in the time of Jesus, well, I'm sorry, you guys, that you will be standing following me from left to right, but that's your job. Do it, you know. I'm sorry, I keep you busy. You know. But this is fun. Preaching is great, especially when we are telling what God said. I'm not making this up. But then Jesus says, be careful, though, because you can lose your saltiness. What? How? Well, you see, in the time of Jesus, all the salt, the cooking salt they had, came from the Dead Sea. Now, in the Dead Sea there, you have what we call crystals of gypsum. It's like a little rock. So salt will, the water is salt. The salted water will get in those crystals and stay in there, in the gypsum crystals. So they will take those crystals, bring home and put in the food and crush it. And put it there. Now what they did, what you wouldn't like to do is to take those crystals, put them in a place where there is a lot of moisture.
What happens is moisture takes all the salt out of the gypsum, and then you are left with crystals that are unsalted. You come in there, oh yeah, you put in there, you're going to eat rocks, nothing else. Moisture takes away the saltiness of the crystals. Your spiritual environment eats up your saltiness and your lightness. In this country, listen to me carefully. The real threat to the church is politics. It is not any other sin. The real threat to your faith is your politics, because it controls all your mind and it moves you away from the Bible. How do you know that? Because as long as your politics will make you angry, hateful, it will drive you away from Christ. It will take away all the fruit of the Spirit in you, so that when you see that person who believes differently, who is in a different party, you just hate them. Then you are done. Remember, I will never forget. I was getting ready and to graduate from Calvin Seminary, and I was getting ready to go back to Africa. But then I was walking still at that Calvin place there. And then I was just thinking about Africa. I'm going to go back there, preach to them. And then I was furious, because after enjoying freedom here I'm going back to the dictatorship. And I was there walking, getting furious and furious. Lord, kill that dictator. Those people are dumb. They don't understand. They need freedom. And I was so mad. Rightly so. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. Stay in America. Don't go back. I said, why? Because you are full of yourself. You hate the people I'm telling you to go minister to, because you consider them, they are dumb. The moment you see, you think they are dumb, you will never love them. Stay here. I need a servant who is going there, who is humble, who loves the sinners because he's one of them. I will never forget that day. As long as you will feel superior, self-righteous, full of hatred, you will not be a missionary in this country. You lose your saltiness when politics destroys your soul, eats up your love and your mercy. You know, here is Jesus being killed by these Romans and these Jews. And he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Wow. Here is Jesus dying on the cross, and he says to the one of them, you will be with me today. I'll get you a free pass. Wow. He died without bitterness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What is destroying your saltiness? Don't worry. I am not worried a bit about the future of this country, because you are here. America has a future, a strong one. Because see, God is using us to win this country back to him. I've been praying for revival. Join me. Revival starts in my heart when I lose the sense of being better and I humble myself and people, my wife, my children, my neighbors will see Jesus through me. And then the last part of the verse is, why do we have to shine? Did you see that? The end of verse 16?
so that people may see your good deeds and give glory to the Father. Let your light shine so that people can see Jesus through you. Let it shine. Did you know? Verb, eh? Don't make it shine. You can't. Just let it. You have a problem. Your problem is that you want to help God. God doesn't need your help. Just stand calm. Let God use you. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't try to be spiritual. Don't try to be nice. No. Let God be nice in you, through you. Because he has put it all there. You are his. You are his salt. You are his light. He planted everything you need in you. Just get over. Get out of the way. Get over. Get out of the way. See, Pastor Paul, see, we have, no, get out of the way of the Holy Spirit so that he can use you. You know, my best sermons I always preach are the ones I think I have a problem because they are not really good. The ones that I really say, today, I got it, they never work because they are based on me, on my strength. God never likes that. I'm asking you something this morning. If you forget all my sermons that I preached to you today, get out of the way of the Holy Spirit. Let him use you. Let it shine, which means don't interfere.
See, Pastor Paul, our grandkids have to do...
No, pray for them. Get out of the way.
See, Pastor Paul, you don't get it. My children, pray for them. Get out of the way.
Let God handle the situation. You are salt. You are light. Light can only shine. It can't do nothing else. You have been too much involved in your own spirituality. Today, the Lord is telling you, calm down. Let me shine through you. You will see it. You will love more. You will be calm. That's not me, yes? Because the Holy Spirit is working through you.